Hello, my name is Guy Somerset, and I'm the Arts and Books Editor of the New Zealand Listener. Welcome to the second of our Listener Book Club podcasts in association with Booksellers New Zealand. This month, we're discussing Look at Me, a 2001 novel by Jennifer Egan, who last year won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction for A Visit from the Goon Squad. Look at Me is an ambitious novel whose themes are many, ranging from the social economy of appearances to terrorism to the post-industrialism of the US Midwest to social media and reality TV. It is also, though, I'd wager, a very funny novel. With me to discuss it are three booksellers, Lily Richards of Unity Books in Auckland, Hamish Wright of Wright's Booksellers in Cambridge in the Waikato, and Stella Chrysostomou of Page and Blackmore in Nelson. Now, just to begin, a lot of us first heard of Jennifer Egan via her book The Goon Squad. Is that a book that we've all read here? Stella, have you read it?
Definitely. Yes, absolutely. Yep. It was my favourite read of last year. I'm a bit of a Jennifer Egan fan.
So you came in positively in favour. What about Hamish and Lily?
No, I haven't read it, but I'm going to. It's on the list.
Right. And Lily?
Yes, I did.
I, in a way, I sort of asked that question because it sort of sets up the question of how you come into the book, in a way, because, I mean, it's a very technically ambitious book, very, very technically accomplished in its ways in which it juggles many themes and many kind of methods. How did you take to that, Hamish, as a newcomer to Jennifer Egan?
I found it fascinating, Guy, in a lot of ways, because, as you say, I didn't know Jennifer's writing at all, and I was immediately just transfixed and magnetised by the whole her style and her way that she develops characters right from the start, right from the first paragraph almost. That's why I'm saying Goon Squad is now on my list, because she's a talent. Whoa.
Stella and Lily, and I'd say that with Goon Squad, she manages all this in a much more accomplished way. She executes it in a much more accomplished way. But did you think that? Did you think this was a kind of a first step, as indeed it was, a first step towards what she would achieve with Goon Squad? Lily?
Yeah, I did, actually. I had a slight issue with the Goon Squad because I felt her technicality was almost slightly cold. She was so proficient, I think, by the time she got to the Goon Squad in terms of using those kind of constructs, that I actually really enjoyed Look at Me for the warmth that she gave the characters, because she gave them all a little more attention than she did in the Goon Squad.
Yeah. Stella, what about you?
Yeah, I'd agree with Lily with that. I think Look at Me is definitely a much more accessible read than Visit from the Goon Squad is. If you want to start, I think start with Look at Me, and then you're kind of set up for her lateral rather than linear style that she really takes to an ultimate with Visit from the Goon Squad.
That's interesting, I think, that you say that, because this is her favourite of her own novels. She said that this is the favourite of all her books. I mean, for very many reasons, she would probably share what you're saying there. It's a book full of big ideas. Does it stretch to carry that burden, or does it carry all those big ideas well? What do you think on that score, Hamish?
I think I read somewhere that it took us 6 years to write it, and I think it stretches it to a point. I think it's a little, I don't want to say cumbersome or anything like that, because the writing is so wonderful, but it wanders occasionally. I'm waiting for it to get back to the, or whether it goes through Moose or Charlotte or any of the characters to get back to the point. But I'm quite happy with that wandering. I'm good with that. It just sort of meanders along, but the characters are developing. So, yes and no, Kai. Yes and no.
And Stella, what about yourself? Do you think it managed to kind of juggle all those ideas and still work as a novel?
I think she manages to juggle them incredibly well. And I think because she has very strong characters that you create a relationship with, especially, I think, the two Charlottes in this book, you feel something for them. So there's incredibly large ideas throughout the whole book, pulling together in all sorts of different directions, almost like she's got a rope that she's unravelling and she ties it up in knots again. And I think she does incredibly well because her writing is so sharp.
the central idea, I guess, well, I mean, it's hard to say it's a central idea, but it's certainly the idea that gives the novel its title, from whence the title really emanates, is the idea of looks, image, identity, on all those bases. What did you think of the novel in that regard, Lily? Did those ideas stand true to you?
Yeah, I mean, I found it really interesting. It's sort of coming in on it with the sort of the readability debate, you know, like it's really easy to read on the one hand because she's dealing with something that's so easy to digest, you know, like something essentially quite superficial as a model, losing her looks. But I read somewhere as well that she's so good at following a cliche, chasing its tail, so you get to the bottom of it. And I felt like she mined in this book that kind of predictable superficiality to reveal the process of that lightness. You know, you're very sympathetic towards Charlotte slowly when you see the effort involved in her not really deeply living her life.
I thought
that was very clever.
And I liked the younger Charlotte as well, the kind of her experience as a quote-unquote plain girl and the way that she's treated accordingly by her family and by her friends and by boys at school, which gives the kind of other side of the equation, I guess, really.
Yeah, and that sexuality as well, I thought was really brave without being over the top in any way. I didn't feel, you know, like that kind of adolescent sexuality is so present when you're going through adolescence, and I thought Egan's treatment of that was fantastic and quite brave.
And the relationship with Michael, I mean, Michael West is the intriguing character in the novel who emerges. I mean, we're going to have spoilers in this podcast, really, for it to work properly. I mean, you know, he emerges as a terrorist sleeper. That was the prophetic aspect of the novel, which set it up for a big launch after 9/11 and a lot of attention. Does he convince as a character? Does her exploration of that theme ring true, Hamish?
Yes, it does. I always found Michael an intriguing character from a lot of different reasons, that he was in a high school teaching maths, yet you got these flashbacks to his body being scarred or you know, his philosophical ideas coming through on that. So I was intrigued by him. He was a sleeper in the book as well as being a sleeper in sort of his world. And I found him, as he developed, and you got the spoiler, the Charlotte with Zed and that sort of link with the characters, both the two Charlottes, quite intriguing. And yes, I think he did stand true as a character. I found it a little plain at the end that Egan didn't flesh that out a little bit more, but ultimately I think he was a great character.
And Stella, what did you think of Michael?
I thought he was a fascinating character because he sort of is unveiled as the story goes along, but also he's an incredibly lonely character. He's almost the most tragic character out of the whole book, I think, because he's given up so much and he's kind of driven by an obsession that in the end he doesn't even think anymore has much to it. And he's this wonderful thing that he has this realization that there's no them, there's only us. And I thought that was very interesting and sort of started a whole lot of ideas running through my head.
He's
definitely an interesting character.
The other character, apart from the two Charlottes and Michael West, the other main character is Moose, the brother, who goes off the rails and turns from being a jock to a conspiracy theorist, very deeply thinking academic who goes even further off the rails than that even. Did that lurch work for you? I must admit, I found that was a slight problem, that suddenly he'd gone from being this very jockish figure to this completely different kind of figure. Did that work for everybody? Lily?
I think there's definitely a homage to that kind of generation of people. It's read to me a little bit like schizophrenia, a sort of a late onset schizophrenia, and I actually know people of that generation who went through a similar transformation. So it did actually work for me, although I can see how it was a large jump. I thought she portrayed him quite sort of softly and thinkingly in the early interactions he had with Charlotte, the way she sort of looked at him when he came to fix something on her lawn. I thought he wasn't completely jockish, so it wasn't a massive jump.
Yeah.
Although his meandering into the history of Rockford, Illinois, I did have to admit to skipping a few bits of that.
So that was one thing that didn't grip you quite as much as some of the others.
Yeah, but it's quite, it's very specific to that place. So,
yes, although kind of stands in for, I suppose, a lot more of what's happened to America in the post-industrial period, as well as being Rockford. Rockford was the hometown of, I think it's her grandparents, Jennifer Egan's grandparents, so obviously a place that she's got a lot of interest. How did that theme work with you, Stella? That's the heaviest, I'd say, the theme running through the book, the most heavily handed, I suppose, in a way, the whole look at, post-industrialism and many of the academic interests of Michael and his theories about the world. Were they heavy going for you? Did you find them okay?
I found them okay, even though they seem kind of a distraction to the other styles of writing, but I think what she was doing was also sending up sort of that whole historical academic kind of speak, because it's kind of long-winded, there's a lot of detail, and that kind of reveals something about Moose's character as well, his kind of total, looking so sharply at things that they become overblown and over-detailed. But at the same time, as you said, it's kind of talking about this whole post-industrial America and how that sort of sits uncomfortably on the modern landscape.
The big ideas attached to the various characters are interesting, but obviously for the novel to work, the characters have to work themselves. Did you find the characters all working, Hamish?
Yeah, I did actually. I found the characters to be wonderful, and that was the whole, the characters were the story in a lot of ways, because you had the whole starting off with just one character that developed like a web through to the other characters, and they all linked ultimately towards the end. The mixture of that Manhattan versus Rockford coming back, and yet everyone came back to Rockford, I found interesting, the central hub sort of concept. But the Moose character I found the hardest in some respects, especially towards the end, as he was meandering off into almost psychotic sort of developments there. That was probably the hardest one, but the other ones I found wonderfully connected.
How about you, Lily, in terms of the characterisation in the book, say for the two Charlottes, for instance?
Yeah, I found them to be very fully fleshed, and I enjoyed them all. Sometimes, and I find this sometimes when characters in books are kind of episodic, that I'll form an allegiance with one and then set up a sort of a negative relationship against others, and kind of be a little disappointed when I switch to the chapter and there's someone that I like a little less. And I felt, both with the Goon Squad actually and Look at Me, that just didn't happen, that even though it could sort of sometimes present as jarring going from one narrative to the next, I was equally engrossed and interested in all of these people. And I found that quite comforting.
The other aspect of the novel that really struck me was just Egan's use of language, her imagery. I mean, she's just an amazing writer at the very, very basic line-by-line level. I mean, for instance, there's a great line in there at one point. I mean, this is taken utterly at random. But one point where the older Charlotte says, "I was still badly bruised rather than fading, it seemed, my bruises simply changed colour like fireworks whose finale won't arrive." I mean, the book is full of really good imagery throughout. Did other people think that? Stella?
Yes, definitely. She is, as you say, a very good writer, and she's able to evoke these wonderful ideas through her language. And I think because she is playing with big ideas, the imagery she creates enables it light enough to take you through maybe some of the more tough issues. So she's a very clever writer, and her language is just beautiful. And it's the kind of book you say, hang on, I just have to read this out aloud because it sounds so good.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was reading it, I felt like, I feel this slight snobbish guilt that it's so easy to read. And again, it made me think about actually the the foreword to Infinite Jest by Dave Eggers, where he talks about that concern, that literary concern about, you know, whether or not a book is worthwhile if you're actually enjoying it, if it's not hard going. And I do have to say that I felt like she does a wonderful kind of middle walk between those two things. And Eggers says, you know, that argument always presents as though it's an either-or proposition, and it doesn't have to be. And I think Egan's a wonderful example of someone who can write strongly thematically, but who also makes the process really entertaining.
Have any of you read her earlier novels? Well, there was only one novel. There was a novel before this, The Invisible Circus. Have any of you read that one?
No, I haven't.
It's just interesting because, I mean, there is a notable leap in terms of the vibrancy of her writing between the early and short stories and that first novel and here. That, you know, this really was a step up. And then again, I think with The Keep, the novel that follows, she steps up yet again. I don't think The Keep's as good a novel, but just the sort of the vibrancy of her handling of dialogue and language is, a step forward yet again after this. Comedy. Is often in the eye of the beholder. I found this a hilarious novel. I mean, I thought it was very, very good in its satirical take on social media and the fashion world and so forth. I mean, there's a lovely touch in the fashion world where the older Charlotte has a habit of aging 2 years at a time, and there's a great line at one point where she was 23 and then 10 years pass and she's 28. I think she's a very funny writer. Do other people agree? Stella, what do you think in terms of the book's comedy?
She's fantastic. It's very funny. You find yourself really taken along by her sense of humour and satire. I always like satire anyway, but I think she's a very good satirical writer. And she's not so in your face like maybe Jonathan Franzen, so she holds back enough that she's amusing without being, hey, this is meant to be funny. So, yeah, she's very clever.
Did Hamish, did you find it satirically, I was going to say plausible, not plausible. Although, I mean, she herself says that, the art of true satire is to have enough plausibility in there that even the most ludicrous ideas seem possible. And some of these ideas don't seem so far afield from what's followed in terms of social media, certainly.
Well, completely, and especially with the concept, the whole internet and that whole extraordinary or ordinary people concept that she's developed through the novel. But even characters like Oscar, her agent, is just, he's hilarious. And he's such a, you can see him playing the bar or the club and being involved in that, and you just got to giggle out loud, to be honest.
Yeah. Lily, for you, funny book?
Yeah, I laughed out loud on a number of occasions, particularly when she continued to mention her sectional couch.
Right.
That was my favourite ploy. I thought that was beautiful.
Personally, I love just the fashion world, that idea of, cutting the models, for instance. Mm. And also earlier in the novel when there's a Hutu model that they've recruited because she's, they're looking for the pattern of a real life behind the models. And so they're kind of going out and looking for people who've had some horrendous atrocity committed against them and then introducing them to the New York fashion world at the same time. Another aspect of the book, which I found an intriguing one, the whole idea of shadow selves, which is one that Egan has said that she really only devised for the book, but it's a very good notion, I thought. What did you think about that, Stella?
I quite like that. This kind of there's somebody behind you or beside you, and only certain people can see them, and I think that's quite funny, and especially in relation to the whole identity issue that she's talking about in the book, and what's real and what's not real, and the whole fakery of the modelling and movie industry. And so the shadow selves are quite a nice little idea. It's always very funny when Charlotte Swinson, who thinks she's so intuitive, gets it wrong.
Yeah.
Mm. And that adds another dimension of how wrong her perception is.
Hamish, you talked a little earlier about Rockford being the hub of the novel. In order for it to be the hub, it does rely on a lot of coincidence, I think. Some coincidences are explained later in the novel, but there are, even so, I think, quite a lot of coincidences required to get the plot to kind of cohere right at the end. Was that a problem for anybody else? Hamish, were you happy with that? I mean,
I found it cheesy is the wrong word, but I did find it a little clumsy in some respects, is that you keep going back and all the characters are linked. But that's the whole intrinsic value of the book too, is that you do have that linkage that binds it all together. Ellen and Anthony are sort of characters again that are bound into it, Ellen especially, and being Charlotte's best, older Charlotte's best friend, and her daughter is Charlotte, so you get all of those links, and Moose and everything else. I did find it a little clumsy, but I was okay with it again because of the writing. It just bound it. So it was okay, it really worked for me.
Yeah.
But I did, looking back, think, okay, a little clumsy, but okay.
Yeah, for me, it was when I think the brother Ricky turns up at the very end and then enables the other Charlotte to turn up. That seemed to be kind of one coincidence too far. What did you think, Lily, in terms of those coincidences?
Yeah, I agree. It was a little like script writing and feeling like you had to show exactly what was going to happen and assure the audience that all of the connections were going to be made. But I did kind of read it generously more as a precursor to her obvious goal that became apparent when you read The Goon Squad.
Yes.
I like she was obviously playing around with the nature of coincidence and not the coincidence not seeming so heavy-handed. So, you've got to start somewhere.
well, exactly. I mean, that's why I think Goon Squad is a better executed novel because, you don't feel that. You never. There's never a moment when you think that any of it is overstretched, whereas I did think that perhaps here was the case. What about you, Stella, in that regard, the coincidences? Were you okay with it?
I was okay with it, but it was very deliberate, and sometimes it was like, oh, yeah, right, okay. And I wondered whether some of those things needed to be there. I mean, did it matter sometimes that these characters connected up totally? Because there were always lines between them anyway.
Yeah. I think our time is almost up, so I'm going to call a close on the whole thing. It's nice after last month when I have to say a lot of people weren't very keen on our choice that we're all much more enthusiastic for this one. Hopefully the general readers, when they start commenting on the website, will be so too. So I thank you all for your time.
Peter.
And we'll be back again next month with another one of these podcasts, this time next time talking about Emily Perkins' new novel, The Forests. Thanks very much for listening.